Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke as we continue our lessons from the book of Luke on Sunday morning. Luke chapter 7. If you would, let's stand together. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. Dear Heavenly Father, again we come thanking you for the opportunity to come here this morning to sing songs of praise, to give to the offering, and Lord also that we may hear the preaching of the word. May it be a blessing and may it be of encouragement to each and every one that is here. And we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The widow's son raised is the title of today's lesson. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass the day after. The day after he spoke the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. May I say this? Jesus had no ordinary days. They were all spectacular days. They were all days of interest, and it's no wonder that there were many times that he had to withdraw himself and get himself away for a time of prayer and communication with the Heavenly Father. But ponder this, many of his disciples and much people. Now we know this, a disciple is one that is learning and is a follower of someone. These were a follower of Jesus. And I'd like you to ponder this in your mind's eye. I want you to think about the fact that Jesus is walking along a dusty road. There are no Stuckey's or Howard Johnson's or McDonald's. There are just little inns and there are just little places along the road that maybe one could take nourishment. And here is many of his disciples and much people. Now, I'm not sure what the much means. Much could mean 10, it could mean 100, it could mean more. But we see in this group of people, his followers, and we thank God for those who follow after Christ. But we also see the curious. There were those who were there simply because they had heard of what he had done at Capernaum or what he had done in other places, and they were curious. They wanted to be entertained, and we know that we live in an entertainment-driven world. People love to be entertained. We find the critics. And may I say this? Jesus had many critics. May I say this? There are critics even in our room today. There are critics. May I say this? That there were those that followed simply to report to the religious authorities. They went and said, Jesus did this. You should have seen what happened today. There were those that were the haters. May I say this? There are people that hate Christians. There are people that are living in our world today that literally hate what Christians do. I'm amazed at how many people are bothered when a football player or a baseball player or a basketball player does something religious, as they call it, and they say, well, why do they have to make that part of the game? They hate the Tim Tebows of our world. They don't want to see them or hear from them. They don't mind if Christians meet and just are quiet and go along with the flow. But you know, Christ never just simply went along with the flow. He was willing to tell people they were hypocrites and they were whited sepulchers, and he was willing to tell them they needed to get their lives right. And there were the haters. There were the jealous. Jealous that Jesus took interest in somebody else. Have you ever known anybody that was jealous because somebody got attention and they didn't get attention? The jealous. We see that he comes to a city called Nain. Nain is a city of Galilee, southwest of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 1, we find that he had entered into Capernaum. And now, the day after, he is about to enter the city of Nain, about 20 miles south and west of Capernaum. How do you think Jesus got from Capernaum to Nain? Do you think he took the bus? Or the subway? Or a taxi? How do you think he got there? He walked 20 miles. How many of you are ready to go out and walk 20 miles? In sandals. With no McDonald's along the way. Yes, 20 miles. And he's about to enter this city. Verse 12. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city. In your mind's eye, see Jesus and the crowd walking along this dusty road. They're nearing the gate of an unwalled city. Now you'd say, well, why would they have a gate? Well, I guess sometimes they would just close the road. But he's entering or nearing the gate. And who's with him? Many of his disciples and a group of much people. Would you say they're making noise? Folks, they're with Jesus. They're getting to hear Jesus talk. And who knows how many people from Capernaum to Nain Jesus stopped and talked to or healed. And people are discussing this. And they're nearing this gate. And notice what it says again in verse 12. Behold. The word behold means see. Look or look at. To view. To observe. To regard. A number of years ago, Donna's brother was getting married outside near a lake over in the Waterford area. And lo and behold, during the ceremony, a dog came walking down the aisle. Now, I don't know if that was a bad sign or a bad omen or not. They didn't stay married a long time. But everybody took their attention away from the woman that was doing the ceremony. And from Chuck and Wanda. And they were looking at the dog. Behold, look who's coming to the wedding. Notice, behold. We are going to find two groups of people. One that is with Jesus. And one that is with a dead man. See the two groups. They're nearing each other. In your mind, can you see this? One group is coming towards town. Another group is leaving town to go out to the graveyard. Do you think there's a different attitude? Do you think there's different sounds and noises coming from the two groups? From the one, there are those who are wanting to get close to Jesus and listen to every word he has to say. Others are talking amongst themselves saying, do you really believe he's Jesus? Do you really believe he's the Messiah? And they're talking back and forth. And from the other, there comes wailing and crying. We're not told how this man died. If it was an accident or if he had an illness. All we are told is that a dead man is being carried out of the city. We find that there is a burial procession. And just as Jesus must go through Samaria to minister to the woman at the well, he must go through Nain to stop a trip to the graveyard. May I say this, that Jesus is in control. Behold, there was a dead man. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, evolution would tell you that long before man, there was growth in the way of life. And all along the way, there was death. Is that contrary to what the Word of God says? The Bible tells us that death came because of sin, because of a man. And we find that Adam and Eve were the ones that sinned. Adam was the one that was blamed. And he brought sin and he brought death. That's why evolution contradicts the Word of God. Folks, if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you can't believe the rest of the Bible. If you can't believe all of Genesis 1, then you have a problem. And so the problem is this, that we want to believe there's another way that man got here. May I say this, one out of one dies. And I've told you this recently, that one out of one dies. Death comes at the end. We are all headed for a small box. Now, I have told my wife that if I die before her, what she has given me strict instructions is not to happen, that I can die before her. But if I do, and you come to the church where we're having the ceremony, is that a ceremony? We're having the funeral. And you see me in a General Electric hot water heater box, that's fine with me. Because I won't be here. But don't hold it against her, because that may be what she gets me for my funeral coffin. Don't spend a lot of money, okay? Okay. But all of us are headed for a small box. Are you ready to meet the God of the universe? Are you prepared to be recalled by your Maker? Behold, there was a dead man carried out of the city. He probably was not in a coffin, but on a bier for all to see. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. The mother was there. We know it's not normal for the child to go before the parent. And yet, if we were to ask you to raise your hand of how many of you know somebody or had in your family where a child dies before the parent, we'd see that many would raise their hand. My brother died a number of years ago. Donna's sister died a number of years ago before the parents died. Here we have a son that has died. Not only has she lost her son, her only son, but she is also a widow. Now, I want you to ponder this. Who is going to take care of her now? They didn't have life insurance policies like we have today. They didn't have the welfare systems and all that go with it. Who is going to take care of this woman? Her husband is gone. Her son, her only son, is gone. Who's going to take care? And not only is the mother there, but we read, and much people of the city was with her. See her weeping? See the crowd weeping? In your mind's eye, there are two groups of people here. One that is excited because they're with Christ, and another who is weeping over the loss of a loved one. And it says that she was weeping. Verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, you know, it's a good thing to be in God's sight. It's a good thing when the Lord sees you. Be it Joseph in an Egyptian jail, or Samson grinding in the mill, or Jonah in the whale, Daniel in the lion's den, Jeremiah in the miry pit, Peter in prison, or the Apostle Paul laying his neck on the chopping block. The Lord sees you. And we find that he saw her and he had compassion on her. Compassion, tenderness, pity, kindness, gentleness. And he says to her, "Weep not." Does that seem like an odd thing to say to a grieving mother? Weep not. Does that seem like an odd thing to say to someone who has just lost a loved one? He says, "Weep not." See, Jesus knows what he's about to do. See, that's why he came to Nain. That's why he walked the 20 miles from Capernaum. He wanted to break up this funeral procession. Notice verse 14. And he came and touched the bier. The group that Jesus is leading has, out of politeness, stopped. You know, there's an old tradition, especially in the South, that if there is a funeral procession, that people will pull off to the side of the road and they'll stop. Many times they'll get out of their car and stand by the side of the road. If a man is wearing a hat, he'll take it off, and they'll stop out of politeness and respect for those who are grieving. It's one of the reasons when we have a funeral procession today that people stop at the stop signs and let the procession go through, or at red lights, and they do it out of respect. And Jesus and the group have stopped. And then Jesus stops the funeral procession by reaching out and putting his hand out to the bier. And they that are carrying the dead man stop. And he said. Do you think it's important that we listen to what the Lord has to say? You know, I believe it's important, and the New Testament is full of things that Jesus said and things that we should listen and apply to our lives. Hear what he says. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now, I think there ought to be an explanation point there. But there isn't. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now, you're there. You're part of the funeral procession. You know this man is dead. And this man says, "Arise." The disciples and the much people hear Jesus say, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now, when it comes to Jesus, you must either believe that he is a lunatic or a liar, or he is Lord. You have to decide. And there were probably those that were there that thought, "This guy's a lunatic. He's trying to make the dead man sit up." We find when Jesus speaks, even to the dead, they listen. Be it Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, or his friend Lazarus, or this young man, they listened. And may I say, we that are dead in sins need to listen too. For Jesus says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to listen to what he has to say and come unto him. Verse 15, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak." Now, I wonder what he had to say. How many of you think he said, "I'm hungry"? Thank you, Luke. I think that's what he said. "Man, I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten for a while." Can I prove that? Can you prove he didn't? Now, I don't know, maybe he looked at Jesus and said, "Thank you." I don't know what he said, but it says that he spake. And verse 15 continues, Jesus knowing the condition of the mother, and he delivered him to his mother. Do you think there was excitement? Do you think there were more people that were now following Jesus? That from the much was added from the funeral procession. May I say this, that we should be wanting to follow Jesus. And our life should be such that we direct other people to Jesus. Now, this is not a resurrection, but a restoration of life. For this man would die again. That's the sad part, that he would die later. But he touched the briar, and he spoke the words, and the young man arose. Can I ask you this? Do you think it was the only funeral procession going on in Galilee that day? No. Do you think there were some going on in Samaria and Judah also that day? And yet Jesus chose that one. That one. I think that's a sign to tell you that not all people that are dead are going to be raised back up again. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about some people are going to die and going to be buried. And we know that the next life awaits them. But just like Naaman was only the only leper healed during that period of time of Elisha, and there were thousands of lepers, there are times that Jesus only touches one person physically and heals them. But the fact of the matter is he was capable of healing people and bringing them life. But when it comes to our spiritual condition, may I say this, he's able to give us spiritual life and that for all eternity. Verses 16 and 17, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. This rumor. You know, the problem with rumors is that they often lead to exaggeration, then to half-truths, then to false doctrines, and finally to out-and-out lies. Rumors. Many people spread rumors, and may I say this, there are many false doctrines about Christ in the world today. But may I say this, we can know the truth because we have the Word of God. And the truth is this, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Shall we stand together? The song of invitation is, there's a great day coming. And as Nathaniel comes to play the song, and as Brother Stephen comes to lead us in the song, there is a great day coming. Are you prepared for that day? And if you have prepared yourself, are you walking with Christ? Are you part of his group? I'm not talking on Sunday morning from 11 to 12. I'm talking about on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. There's a great day coming. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this song of invitation. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.